This time of year, I want more energy, not more steps in my wellness routines. Grüns can make keeping on top of wellness habits easy because it's literally just one daily pack of gummies, no bottles to track, and no powders to mix. Grüns are a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. This isn't a standard multivitamin, a simple greens gummy, or a basic prebiotic. It's all of those things combined and then some at a fraction of the price of individual supplements. And bonus, it tastes great. Grüns provides a full daily pack of gummies because you simply can't fit the immense amount of whole food nutrients Grüns does into just one single gummy. Plus, it makes taking daily nutrition a fun, rewarding treat rather than a chore. And each pack includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount of dietary fiber compared to the leading greens powders. Grüns ingredients are also backed by over 35,000 research publications. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
There are people you are told to trust. Lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
From the time we met, we were just very compatible. He was warm and funny and generous, a very special man, very good man, very kind. I was Tim's girlfriend. We were sweethearts.
It was a hot day in San Diego on July 19th, 2007.
He left that morning, gave me a kiss.
It's a nice, quiet neighborhood, and it's a house on the edge of a canyon.
Said he loved me as he always did when he was leaving.
Tim McNeil came home around noon to have lunch with his daughter.
He said that my smile was my best feature and that he wanted to spend the rest of his life making me smile.
San Diego Police, Christine 911.
I think we've been robbed. I'm tied up and my dad's been shot.
Reliving that day, it's almost as hard as actually being there, because when I was actually there, I was mostly in shock.
Where's the person that shot your dad?
I don't know, he ran off.
It's really hard to hear about all of those shots to my dad.
No, I was tied up. I went and got the phone, probably about.
Okay, all right. Where's your dad? Where is your dad?
He's on the floor.
Okay, all right.
When officers got there, the back door to the residence was wide open. There was a gun on the back porch. Officers went in. The body of Tim McNeil was lying face down in a pool of blood. Off in the corner was Bray Hansen, the person who called 911, with her hands zip tied behind her back.
And there's Bray out there. She's out there too. Bray, what you been doing today?
She was his stepdaughter, but he had raised her since she was very, very young, and so he thought of her as a daughter.
Bray said that a masked intruder surprised her and her father in the house and demanded the combination to the safe, shot her father, and fled out the back.
He then came around the fence through our yard, and then he jumped down between the oleanders and the brick wall on the side of our house.
That, of course, would be the way you'd want to go if you knew anything about the neighborhood, because you can duck in left or right halfway up those stairs.
I guess she saw the whole thing happen, which is just really, really sad.
I would give anything to have my dad back.
She was a victim. She witnessed her father get shot. Slowly, the story about the masked intruder started to fall apart. It was unusual that someone would do a home invasion, robbery, and a murder and leave a witness.
Daddy's Girl, tonight's 48 Hours Mystery.
Your dad needs paramedics?
I think he's dead.
Dispatchers received a phone call from Bray Hansen.
He had his face covered with a ski mask.
Yes.
Was it a black ski mask?
Yes.
She and her father had been tied up, and she described witnessing this masked intruder shoot and kill her father right in front of her.
It was a Thursday, July 19th, 2007, around 12:30 p.m., when San Diego homicide investigators J.C. Smith and Brett Burkett arrived at Tim McNeil's home on Maricopa Drive.
The victim was a face down in a pool of blood. He was wearing a dress shirt and no pants. There was a zip tie near one of his hands.
Investigators believed 17-year-old Bray Hansen, the only surviving victim of the crime, was now their best eyewitness.
The stepdaughter, Bray Hansen, had been zip tied, was crying.
She was upset. She saw what happened.
Bray told investigators the shooter fled out the back door where the gun had been found. Next, police canvassed the neighborhood on foot and with search dogs, hoping to find more evidence and witnesses.
I heard popping noises. Pop, 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 pop.
People in the neighborhood say they heard the shots and then they saw a young man jump out of these hedges and take off in broad daylight down the street and up a flight of stairs.
Yeah, you can see he was putting a lot of effort into it, and he was definitely trying to, like, run away from a situation.
Investigators soon discovered two key pieces of evidence near the stairs.
Three quarters of the way up the stairway, they found a wad of black clothing. They got caught in a branch.
And what was in that wad of clothing?
That was a black shirt and the mask.
As victims of homicide go, is Tim McNeil unusual?
He doesn't fit the stereotype or the typical homicide victim. He didn't live a high-risk lifestyle. His behavior and his activities weren't something that you would expect someone to kill him.
Tim McNeil was 63 years old and a well-respected defense attorney.
He was a great guy, best possible big brother I could ever have.
Younger brother Rick says he also had a wicked sense of humor.
He could find humor in just about anything.
We played basketball together. He was called the Spider.
College fraternity brothers Jim Wilson and John Kiefer say McNeil had skills on the court and in the courtroom.
He won all the time. I never saw him lose a case.
Erin McNeil Ellison is Tim's daughter from his first marriage.
The funniest, most easygoing, nicest guy. I mean, he just could walk in a room and work it. He could talk to anybody.
After divorcing Aaron's mother, Tim McNeil met and married Doreen Hansen and quickly took on the role of stepfather to her young daughter, Bray.
Bray always called me her sister. And since I didn't have any other siblings and she was younger than me, I always kind of let her do that.
What kind of kid did Bray seem like?
She was super happy. She was always smiling.
Bray, what you been doing today?
We went on another scavenger hunt.
How did your dad treat Bray?
Really, really well. I mean, even in the will, you know, it was this, I raised her as my daughter. I mean, it was split 50-50. So I think that pretty much says how important she was to him.
As investigators continued to interview Bray that afternoon, they came back to one part of her story that puzzled them. Bray had told the 911 operator the masked gunman had disguised his voice.
And I think we asked a second time, what was the suspect's voice disguised like? And we heard a cartoon character. It was just unusual. I hadn't ever heard in my entire police career that a home invasion robber used a cartoon character voice. And I think we both thought That was a little strange.
Several hours after the shooting, police took Bray to her Aunt Bonnie and Uncle Rick's house.
They had asked Bray if there was a place that she wanted to go where she would feel safe, and she wanted to come to our house.
As police continued to question her there, the 17-year-old said another strange thing. She called the masked gunman by the name Nathan.
Bray said Nathan, and she switched back to the masked intruder. And Detective Rivera let Bray finish her statement and then said, "Hey, you said the name Nathan a few minutes ago." And it wasn't so much that she said the name Nathan, it was when she denied saying it.
Then, after police left for the night, Bray said yet another strange thing. As her cousin Shelley showed Bray a sketch of an unmasked man neighbors described running in the neighborhood shortly after the shooting.
She said, "Oh no, his chin wasn't that square."
And Shelley just looked at her and said, "Oh really? I thought you said he was wearing a mask." And Bray backed up and Shelley came out and told Rick, and Rick said, "Call the detective."
When investigators heard that Bray had described the gunman's face, they knew she'd been lying to them all along. They rushed back to her aunt's house. Their victim was now a suspect.
We felt we had enough at that point to arrest her. So we drove over there. I asked them to have her outside. They were sitting around a picnic table in the back.
Around 11 p.m. that night, less than 12 hours after the crime, Bray Hansen was arrested for the murder of her stepfather, Tim McNeil.
She stood right up
and put her hands right behind her back.
Investigators were now sure that Bray was somehow involved in her stepfather's murder. They began to interrogate her to find out exactly what she had done and why.
So, walk me through what happened.
Bray Hansen knew she was caught. She began to give investigators details about a complicated and diabolical plot to kill her stepfather.
At first, I thought that my dad had won and that Nathan had gotten shot. But then I looked back and I saw my dad saying, "You've shot me, you've killed me."
It was a plot she said was executed by Nathan, who was her older brother and Tim's stepson. A plot that got out of hand.
What's the truth?
I couldn't stop it.
Did you try to stop it?
Yes, I did.
You did everything you could to stop it?
Everything in my mind that I could think of at the time to stop it, yes. I did think about calling the police, and I had it dialed. I just couldn't push the send button. I was too afraid.
You know those days when you put on a simple white t-shirt and your favorite pair of jeans, but then you add just one perfect intentional piece of jewelry and suddenly your entire outfit is completely transformed? That's exactly what Jenny Bird does. You'll find yourself reaching for Jenny Bird pieces constantly because they are so effortless to style and beautifully lightweight to wear. And if you get up early like I do, the last thing you want to do in the morning is stress about putting together an outfit. Jenny Bird can make getting ready easy because everything in the collection works so harmoniously together. It's one of those brands where every piece works with the others. Jenny Bird pieces also make the ultimate foolproof gift for your mom, sister, or your best friend because they're so comfortable, versatile, and instantly elevate even the most basic look. It is truly the kind of jewelry that makes it look like you put a ton of thought and effort into your outfit when actually you just threw it on and walked out the door. Give your everyday wardrobe an instant sophisticated upgrade. Get a free gift with your first Jenny Bird order when you shop at jenny-bird.com.
If you've been holding back on launching your dream business, it's time to stop making excuses. Shopify is where you finally go to get started. They offer everything you need to succeed from day one. They completely simplify the process so you can focus on what matters. Think about how you want your brand to look. Imagine the confidence of launching with a world-class checkout system already built into it, allowing your customers to buy effortlessly in just one click. Whenever you run into a roadblock or find yourself asking those tough startup questions, Shopify's AI assistant called Sidekick is right there to help you build and troubleshoot. You get to build your dream on the same reliable platform that powers household names like Mattel, saving you time to scale. All you need is the idea. Shopify handles the rest. Go to shopify.com/tenderfoot to start your free trial today. That's shopify.com/tenderfoot. shopify.com/tenderfoot.
Tim McNeil was gunned down just one day after his 63rd birthday. No one felt the pain more than his daughter, Erin.
It's one of the only times I physically lost control.
But what was worse was that her little stepsister, Bray, seemed to be involved.
I've never really had my heart broken, and I think it was the only time that my heart broke. Because I never thought anything bad about her.
Even though investigators J.C. Smith and Brett Burkett had arrested Bray, they were far from solving the case. They needed to find out about Bray's brother, Nathan.
My name is Nathan Gant. I go by T.W. Naru.
Who she said was living in Arizona, where he was a college student.
I didn't even know she had a brother named Nathan until she said it.
And now Bray was telling police her brother had tied her up and murdered their stepfather in cold blood.
But I think my dad lunged at him and tried to get the gun, and I kind of turned away and was just like freaking out majorly.
As Bray described that horrific afternoon in greater detail, she suddenly made a stunning admission.
I had some play in it, so yes. I did kind of start the whole thing, even if it was, I don't know, lapse of judgment or whatever.
She told us a story about how she and her brother Nathan planned to kill their stepdad on his birthday several days prior.
Not only did they plan to kill Tim McNeil, but according to Bray, they dreamed up several different ways of doing it. They considered beating him with a baseball bat or injecting him with a toxic household cleaner. Eventually, Bray says, they settled on hiring a hitman. So she put cash, a key, and a gun belonging to Tim McNeil into a box and left it on Tim's patio. But she told police and me when the hitman didn't show up, she changed her mind.
I mean, I voiced my concerns to him and I kept telling him, you know, I don't want to go along with this. And I still just never believed it was really going to happen.
But then, Bray says, Nathan showed up at Tim's house anyway with that same gun.
He missed once, I know. He hit the side of his face once, I know. And then he fired another shot in the back of his head once he was down because he was twitching.
And how did she seem during this statement when she was talking to us?
She was calm. She was cold.
It appeared she was trying to cry, but no tears were coming out.
How many shots did he fire total, do you think?
I'd say 1, 2, 4.
This was such a terrible thing that happened. And here's this 17-year-old girl, matter-of-factly, telling us in great detail each shot that was fired into her dad, and there was no emotion.
Why not tell the police when you called 911 the truth?
And say what?
My brother killed my dad.
He warned me about that. He said, you know, if I get caught, you get caught, and we're both going down no matter what you do. No matter what you say, they're always going to believe me over you.
The investigators alerted Arizona authorities, and Nathan was rousted out of bed in the middle of the night, arrested for the murder of his stepfather. The next morning, Burkett and Smith were on a plane to Phoenix to question Nathan.
I didn't do anything. What do you want?
She did.
I wasn't there. I don't know.
Nathan denied even being in San Diego.
I finally admitted to him. I said, hey, we've spoken to your sister, and she told us everything.
And then what did he tell you?
He asked for an attorney.
I need a lawyer. This is too powerful. This is just,
I'm trying to tell you guys I wasn't involved.
Did you kill Tim McNeil?
No.
Did your sister Bray kill Tim McNeil?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
So if you could offer any explanation how you got involved in this, why you're sitting here now?
Like I said, my sister probably went into panic mode and just automatically blamed brother.
Here's the bottom line question. Did you kill your stepfather?
No, I didn't.
Investigators knew that to solve the crime, they needed to discover what had turned a seemingly normal relationship between Tim McNeil and his two stepchildren toxic. When the siblings entered Tim's life upon his marriage to their mother, Doreen Hansen, Nathan was 6 and Bray was just 4. According to Tim's friends, Bray was a bright, happy kid. But Nathan was a problem child.
It was a big authority issue. It was disruptive and he was a problem.
There's Doreen, you recognize her?
Oh man.
It was no secret that Doreen had her share of problems with alcohol and depression. Bray and Nathan claim she frequently took her troubles out on them.
Basically, she treated me like I was her slave and that was my only purpose in life, was to serve her.
My mom was not normal. My mom was abusive. And
She'd spank you?
Kind of. It was more of a 2x4 type incident.
She'd hit you with a 2x4.
Turns out she was bragging about it.
At age 12, to escape trouble at home, Nathan moved to Arizona to live with his grandmother. He seemed to thrive after moving there, says his childhood friend, Joshua Wood.
You know, he was, you know, just actually a pretty decent guy, like pretty true to himself, I can say. A good guy to know that if he had problems, especially with computers, that's what he was known for, he was good at. And so we were able to relate because we kind of had tough childhoods. His, of course, tougher than mine.
In 2006, Doreen committed suicide by overdosing on pills.
After my mom had died, I had started talking to Tim more often. My girlfriend at the time, she described it as a professor-student type relationship. You know, Tim, he's older, he's been there, he's, you know, he's successful, you know.
Nathan says he had no reason to harm his stepfather.
I personally had more to gain for him being alive. Now I'm seeing him now much more often. I did computer work for him, built him a new computer and repairing it and stuff and such.
According to Nathan, it was Bray who was angry with Tim.
My sister had been angry. She was angry a lot of the time, and it had gotten worse and worse.
I was really, really pissed off at my dad. He basically made me feel like I was nothing, that I was not worth anything.
Investigators speculated that Bray's sense of rejection may have ignited her anger, especially after she revealed that she was jealous of the other woman in her stepfather's life, his new girlfriend, Kim.
He was basically going to cut me out of his life completely, and just, I knew he had already chosen his girlfriend over me, and mm-hmm. It hurt really, really bad because this is the man that I thought
loved
me was my dad.
She seemed offended that her father didn't make their lunch date they had set up on his birthday, but he instead chose to go with his girlfriend, Kim.
With her mother dead and her stepfather embarking on a new relationship, investigators wondered if Bray may have felt she had no one, and she was blaming Tim.
What did you love about Tim?
Everything. Absolutely everything.
How could it go from I loved everything about him to this?
I don't know.
As for Nathan Gann, even though he claimed he wasn't in San Diego at the time of the murder, police weren't buying it because the evidence told a different story. Nathan's DNA was discovered on the ski mask found near the crime scene, and the eyewitness descriptions of a man running in the neighborhood after the murder matched Nathan too.
The way it was carried out, they did this together.
But with brother and sister squarely pointing the finger at each other, it will now be up to a jury to decide which sibling is telling the truth and which one is lying.
Let's be honest, traditional banks have a habit of hitting you with overdraft and monthly fees, and those costs can really add up when you're just trying to manage your own money. But Chime is changing the way people bank. They offer the most rewarding, fee-free banking built for you, not the 1%. Chime has thousands of fee-free ATMs because you shouldn't pay to access your own money. And Chime members can benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards, completely fee-free. You'll get 5% cash back on your Chime card in a category of choice like gas or groceries, and savings that grow faster than a 3.75 APY. My younger self could have seriously benefited from all that. Plus, Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service. I'm talking real humans, 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Instacart is designed to make life easier and give you time to focus on what matters most. It connects you to thousands of stores across the United States, allowing you to shop from your favorite spots with just a few taps. Whether you're prepping for a backyard barbecue, planning a summer beach day, or handling a last-minute hosting emergency, delivery through Instacart lightens your load. You can order online or via the easy-to-use app to have quality items carefully selected and ready for pickup or at your door in as fast as 30 minutes. One of my favorite things about summer is all the fresh produce. My family can't get enough watermelon, sweet corn, and heirloom tomatoes this time of year. But our favorite foods are only at their best for a short window. With Instacart, you can get peak season flavor delivered fast. And shoppers care about getting your order right, so you can be confident that you're getting the best quality items every time. Instacart brings convenience, quality, and ease right to your door so you can focus on what matters most. Download the Instacart app now and get groceries just how you like.
Hey, Bray, let me see what you got there. Whoa!
Bray Hansen, the little girl Tim McNeil had raised as his own, is now 19 years old. She's had a lot of time to think about her stepfather's murder in jail, awaiting trial.
I've mourned him and grieved him, but only to a certain point because I've been in here and I haven't had to live out in the world without him.
I remember my dad saying, "Why are you doing this? Why, Nathan?"
Bray and her brother Nathan now face charges of first-degree murder.
We are now on the record in the case of People versus Nathaniel Gann. Let the record reflect.
In November 2008, nearly a year and a half after Tim McNeil's murder, his stepson goes on trial.
What you're going to conclude at the end of this case is that Timothy McNeil was not killed by a mask of truth.
The jury is now present.
But after 6 days of testimony and 1 day of deliberations, the jury can't come to any conclusion at all.
You believe your jury is hopelessly deadlocked?
Yes, Your Honor.
It is necessary that I declare a mistrial in this case.
It was just like a punch in the stomach. I mean, it was just like, it hurt so bad.
The mistrial is also disappointing to the investigators, who know about one important interrogation that the jury was not allowed to hear, something that could very well have changed the outcome of the trial. During Nathan's initial interview with the detectives, just moments after he asked for an attorney and shut the interrogation down, Nathan changed his mind and said he wanted to talk.
Well, you guys won't tell me what happened. I'm trying to ask. Good luck.
And I told him, "We can't talk to you, you want an attorney." He threw his hands in the air and said,
"For the time being, I'll waive my right to an attorney for now, again, until for further notice."
So we went back in and he started to talk to us in little bits and pieces.
Nathan finally admits to police he was present during the murder and begins to give his own account of how it happened.
I know Bray had plans, but they were not the same for me.
He even reenacts the moments before Tim was shot.
"Would you mind if I did a quick demonstration?"
"Go ahead."
"And let's see, that way the hands behind your back. Go ahead, we put that chair this way, facing that door towards the door.
Show me how you have to go."
"Actually,
over here. Wear his pants up or wear his pants down. At that point, down.
And for the first time, Nathan suggests a motive.
I mean, I was angry, but no.
You don't want him to die?
I didn't want him to die. I wanted him to be scared. I wanted him to be honest. I wanted him to honestly feel like, take me seriously for a change. There's nothing to me. I just dismissed me and didn't.
And he tells police Tim McNeil's dying words before that final, fatal shot to the head.
And then apparently, at the very end, he was face down and you went and put one in the back of his head.
I just know. I panicked. I remember him saying it like a thousand times.
Yeah.
Just, you killed me. Kill me. Why did you kill me?
There are reasons why you cannot hear certain evidence. It's
but when Judge Frederick Link declared Nathan's statement inadmissible at trial, he dealt a crushing blow to the prosecution's case.
Judge Link said there was Miranda issues.
Because he asked for an attorney?
Yes.
So in the judge's opinion, you should have just left when you guys were first walking out?
Or read his Miranda rights again, maybe.
4 months have passed since the first jury deadlocked, but prosecutor George Bennett is back in court, and this time he has a new strategy. Try brother and sister together.
At no time will your picture be taken.
And in an unusual arrangement, the evidence is being evaluated by two juries, one for each sibling.
I think it helps the jury to see that they worked together, that they did this together. That they're being tried for the crime together.
I need a lawyer.
Nathan's confession is still inadmissible.
She knew when she'd been caught.
But Bray's attorney, Troy Britt, isn't so lucky.
Had to deal with my client's statement being played for the jury.
He knew I didn't want to go through with it, but I did anyway, so it's my fault.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning.
Britt stuns the jury, admitting Bray hatched the murder plot.
I'm conceding to you all right now that she did start this plan. But what she also did was she tried to withdraw from this plan.
It's a calculated gamble, since he also tells
after
the jury Nathan is really the one who wanted Tim McNeil dead.
She's telling him, I don't want to do this anymore. Please, don't do this. But her brother wouldn't stop. He threatened his only sister. He pointed the gun at her and said, you're going to end up like Tim if you try to stop this.
Is it a little risky to turn to the jury and say, yeah, my client's a liar? But eventually she told the truth. Yeah, my client planned a murder, but then she tried to back out of it.
Well, absolutely. And the difference, though, is the law allows somebody to withdraw from a conspiracy.
She was like, Nathan, don't do this. You know, you can go back now. I promise I won't call the cops or anything. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I was like, Nathan, maybe we should listen to him.
Here's the thing. You admitted that you lied to the police. Why should people believe you now?
Because if I was going to lie to them, why would I implicate myself at all?
Raise your right hand to be sworn by the clerk.
Prosecutor Bennett now turns his attention to Nathan and introduces a controversial witness, a convicted drug dealer who says he met Nathan in jail.
Out of the blue one day, he said, I'm going to tell you what happened. And he whispered the whole entire thing to me.
The informant, who we agreed to call by his initials CG to protect his identity, claims Nathan confided to him the details of how he and Bray plotted to kill Tim McNeil.
That they were gonna take care of him. He ended up driving to San Diego very quickly. When he got there, he went inside, he saw his sister, and she said, I'm so glad to see you. And gave him a kiss. He said it was like Judas kissing Jesus.
I got the sense that Bray had a lot of influence on him in his decisions.
CG's story matches the one Nathan told police.
And he said he shot him and he fell down on the ground. And then when he kept saying, why are you killing me? And kept saying his name, Nathan, why are you doing this to me? Nathan, Nathan. He just flipped out and finished him off.
When you say you spoke to Mr. Gann...
Nathan's attorney, Ricardo Garcia, seizes on discrepancies in CG's story and hammers away at his credibility.
Now, in addition to the conspiracy to distribute ecstasy, you were convicted of a conspiracy to launder money, is that right?
Yes.
And you agreed with the feds that you would testify against
your co-defendants, is that right?
Yes.
And when you snitched on your friends, you got a better deal than they did, didn't you? And I'm going to object, that's non-responsive to the letter.
I think my case is about showing that the prosecutor's star witness is a liar. He's a convicted drug dealer. I mean, and he's a convicted money launderer. These are crimes of complete dishonesty.
But for Bray's attorney, CG is a godsend.
He told you that he is the person that shot Tim McNeil, correct?
Yes.
And while he was shooting Timothy McNeil, Bray Hansen was screaming her lungs out, correct?
Yes.
And in fact, Nathan Gann told you that he pointed the gun at her, isn't that right?
Yes.
And he told you that he was going to shoot her, right?
Yes.
How did he get these details about the crime?
They were everywhere on the internet paper. That's all I figure. But I didn't tell him anything. I never... This man is not all there. There's no reason why I would trust or confide in this guy.
But just how trustworthy is Nathan?
Would you please raise your right hand? This lady's going to...
The prosecutor calls a surprise witness, this 22-year-old woman who claims she knows a darker side of Nathan.
Thank you.
Okay, come on up here and have a seat, please.
She's one of Nathan's high school girlfriends, but we can't name her or show her face because of the sensitive nature of her testimony.
Are you afraid of Mr. Gann?
Yes.
I ask you to describe for the jury how Mr. Gann was sexually abusive to you.
I hate saying this. He's raped me.
Objection, Your Honor.
That's a horrible, horrible story, and I can't believe she's so vindictive as to come and lie in court like that.
Nathan, she said that you raped her.
I know, I...
Did you rape her?
Absolutely not.
What motivation would this young woman have to come all the way to a court and sit there and cry about really personal details, share those with the world?
Well, I've seen her cry for real, and I've seen her fake cry. That was obviously her fake cry.
Now comes the time.
In closing, Prosecutor Bennett saves his harshest words for Bray.
She wanted him gone. She wanted him dead. For what? For money? Because she was angry? Because she was upset? Because she felt unloved? You know, that's too bad.
He presents a letter found in her cell. Bray says she wrote it the night of her arrest.
It wasn't addressed to anyone, but in fact, it was meant for those people.
For
my aunt and my uncle and my sister. I was planning on killing myself that night. I wanted them just to have the full story and not something that was going to be twisted later on.
Bray's letter is chilling and damning.
And she says it was supposed to be one clean shot, easy shot to the head. No pain. No suffering. That's the plan. She never tried to withdraw from any conspiracy. And those tears and that expression is too late. Bray Hansen controlled this thing the way you control a dog on a leash. And she had that dog, Nathan Gann, on a leash, holding him back, holding him back, holding him back, and then she let him go.
After 2 weeks of testimony, it's now up to the juries. Who will they hold accountable? Why didn't you do more to stop it?
I was afraid Nathan would kill me.
You wake in the middle of the night alone in your apartment, and that feeling starts to set in that something is wrong. Realizing your home is no longer safe, you plan your escape. But he has other plans. The details are the kind that stay with you. Water running in an empty apartment. A locked door that shouldn't be locked. That uneasy feeling of being watched. That's the setup for Unhinged, the new immersive game experience on Netflix. Your phone becomes your controller, flashlight, and lifeline to your best friend. As the attacker in your building closes in, the phone in your hand will ring. The question is, will you answer? Play now, only on Netflix.
Can you believe our country is turning 250? When it comes to furniture worthy of America's 250th birthday, Bob's has the styles all Americans want at the everyday low prices we deserve. Plus, everything is backed by glowing five-star reviews from real customers. For ultimate relaxation, check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa. It's a genuine leather dream with built-in charging and Bob-opedic seats made for chilling in the AC all day. You can even grab the matching love seat and recliner. If you're hosting summer parties, the Homeworks dining set is a must-have, offering comfy Bob-opedic seating and hidden storage in both the table and bench. For maximum flexibility, the modular Bob sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It features family-proof construction, wireless charging, and Bob-opedic memory foam for hundreds less than competitors. It's just $250 per piece. It's a total steal. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
One day, this will just all seem like a distant memory. It's just been such a grueling process.
Nearly 3 weeks after the trial began,
did not deserve to end up like that.
Both juries are now separately deciding if Bray Hansen and her brother, Nathan Gann, murdered their stepfather, Tim McNeil. Bray's hoping that she'll get off, but that her brother won't.
He's done enough damage already. If he were to get out, I would be afraid to walk down the street.
She may just get her wish. Nathan's attorney is not sounding terribly optimistic.
If I did my job right, we'll be doing this again in 6 more months.
That's the best you can hope for is another hung jury?
You know, with the facts are the facts in this case. And there are some problems.
This is not a charged conspiracy.
As for Bray's own attorney,
there were 7 of 12 jurors who looked very stern and didn't look like they wanted to listen to a thing that I had to say.
Is she prepared for a guilty verdict?
I'm not sure that she is. She's only 19.
In fact, it's clear that Bray Hansen has been thinking a lot about a possible guilty verdict, but in a most disturbing way.
Maybe it's a good thing that you're talking to me now in case things don't go well. I've been suicidal since I was 11.
You'd kill yourself?
Without a second thought. I would be dead within a few months.
The court has received information that the jury has made decisions in this case.
And the thing that gnaws at my soul is that these jurors were only out for 6 hours. It's a first-degree murder case.
It may have been a quick verdict, but Bray and her attorney will have to wait to learn what it is.
Let the record reflect that I've had these verdicts sealed.
The judge decides to delay revealing it until her brother's jury has also reached a verdict.
How's Nathan holding up?
Seems to be okay. The weight gain, I think, for anybody in this situation is painful.
It takes much longer, 2.5 days of deliberations.
Do you have the verdict forms? Please hand them to my bailiff.
Before Nathan's jurors reach their verdict.
Madam Clerk, please read the verdicts.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Nathaniel Marcus Gann, guilty of the crime of murder in the first degree.
Nathan must serve a minimum of 25 years in prison, though he could get life.
The prosecution basically proved that you're the mask intruder.
I was convicted. I don't agree with it.
For Tim McNeil's family, the guilty verdict is most welcome news. His brother Rick has a brief message for Tim's stepson.
Rot in prison and burn in hell.
basically it.
The next morning, the judge brings Bray Hansen's jurors together for a reading of their verdict.
My life is in these people's hands.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Bray F. Hansen, guilty of the crime of murder in the first degree.
Bray is treated far more harshly by her jury. Besides the murder conviction, she is also found guilty of lying in wait, in effect ambushing her stepfather. So she could end up spending the rest of her life in prison, with no chance of parole.
I would give anything to have my dad back, but the reality is, there's no time machine. I can't change the past. I can't undo it.
I genuinely care about her.
Despite the overwhelming loss of her father, Aaron, who was close to Bray, has sympathy for her stepbrother and sister.
Wait, you feel bad for Bray and Nathan?
Well, yeah, because the life we could have had. They didn't have enough love in their heart or enough love in their life to know that something like this decision wouldn't be worth it. Seeing her fall apart, I mean, my dad wouldn't want that. I don't want that. At one point, I wanted to just go over and hug her. Just tell her that it was going to be okay.
Compassion. Something that Bray Hansen may never fully understand.
She'll have the rest of her life to decide if it was worth it to her. And she'll have to live with that.
Bray Hansen's jurors found the trial emotionally grueling. The evidence overwhelming. And the guilty verdict, the only fair decision they could reach.
I've cried over this for days.
You wanted to find her not guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to believe in the good of everyone. And that people aren't capable of doing these things, let alone a young woman at 17.
But you still convicted Bray of murder.
That's right. She knew the plan. She went along and she never stopped it. Clearly, she was a party to the murder. Heroes are born from people you'd never expect. Murderers are born from people you'd never expect.
I honestly didn't think it was ever going to happen.
You thought you and Nathan were just talking?
Yeah. You know, I was mad at my dad. We all get mad at our parents.
But not all of us plan their murder.
Nathan Gann was sentenced to 25 years to life. After receiving a life sentence without parole, Bray Hansen was sentenced in 2015 to 26 years to life.